Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I don't know if you noticed, but if you were with us every day of Holy Week, and if you have gathered with us Easter Vigil, Easter Sunday, Sunday after Easter, last Wednesday, and tonight, you will have heard the Passion story from all four Gospels. And now you will have heard the Easter story from all four Gospels. At the Easter Vigil, we heard the resurrection of Jesus according to St. Matthew. On Easter Sunday, when we gathered, we heard it according to St. Mark. Last Sunday, or the Sunday before last, on Quasimodo Geniti, we heard of the resurrection story from St. John's Gospel. Last Wednesday, we got more of the story from St. Mark's Gospel, and now tonight, we get it from St. Luke. As I mentioned on the Wednesday after Easter, it is impossible for the church to contain her joy, her alleluias, her praise be to the Lord, because his death and his resurrection is so big a part of who we are. It is the linchpin that holds the church together. It is the foundation on which the church stands or falls. You get everything that you need from just one of the Gospels for your salvation, that's true. But the life of a Christian isn't just trying to get the bare minimum of Jesus. The life of a Christian, of a person who is called by the name of Jesus to follow him, desires and craves more and more. And that's what we get. Hearing it, first the Passion story, two whole chapters of each book, on 4 days of that week, and now we get to see what happened next. The death of Jesus Christ is how he atones for our sins. It is how he pays the full price of our debt to the Father. And then the empty tomb shows us that the Father's wrath has been appeased, that the Father has accepted his Son's sacrifice. If you only read one of them, you don't get as full of a picture. If all you read was Luke 24, you would have read these words: "But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." But if you were here on the Sunday after Easter, Quasimodo Geniti, you heard that St. John told us that it wasn't Peter alone, that the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, ran with him, and that it was John that outran Peter and got there first. Now, is that necessary for salvation? No. Is it sinful for you to forget that John ran with Peter? No. But does it help you to grow deeper in your faith in Jesus Christ, in the voice of those men who followed him, who had rejected him, who had fallen away, and yet he restored? Will it help you grow stronger in this walk of faith in your relationship with Jesus? Yes. Peter gives us beautiful words from our epistle lesson in his first letter. Peter acknowledges that he did not believe, he did not understand when it had been told to him. Jesus had said these things on multiple occasions. Jesus told Peter that he would deny him thrice before the rooster crowed. He did not believe. What Jesus says comes to fruition. He did not leave them at his death, for he said that the Son of Man would rise again. But when the women came and told the disciples, he doubted. He struggled to believe. They all did. Peter gives us beautiful words that we as Lutherans have clung to. Jesus wasn't God's plan B. It wasn't, oh no, they've fallen into sin. I didn't know that was going to happen. How am I going to redeem them? The Father always knew that he would have to send his Son so that we could be followers and his children, so that we could be in eternal paradise with him. And so Peter writes these words, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God. God had planned everything. He knew everything from eternity before he created a single thing in this universe. He knew that he would send his Son, that his Son would have to become a man and live a perfect life and endure the tragedy of the cross. It is by the blood of Jesus that you have been born again. It is by the blood of Jesus that people will continue to be born again. Because God will continue to call people to himself, and he will draw them to the waters of holy baptism, and he will wash them in the blood of the Lamb, and they shall be cleansed. We have to be born again. But that is done all for us by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we walk in newness of life. The life of a Christian looks far different from the life of someone who has never confessed Jesus or has chosen to live in the world. It looks far different because the average person who does not have Jesus does not find himself in the Lord's house to hear what he has done and to eat the body and blood of Jesus. That is not something that unbelievers do. The life of a Christian looks different. The way you speak to your husband or your wife, the way you speak to your children, to your co-workers, the words that you use show Jesus. How much alcohol will you consume in your Christian life? That is dictated also by how deep the Holy Spirit is ingrained in you. How you will act with other people is ingrained in you by the Holy Spirit living in you. These things are passing away before our very eyes. We are living through the biggest shift that was not even thought about even 15 years ago. We are watching a country shift into, and I don't really like the phrase, but it's the one that I keep hearing, a post-Christian time. That's the phrase being used. Like I said, I don't like it because it implies that there's ever a time after Christianity, because there isn't. This is the bride of Christ. We stand in it. Christ will not desert his bride. But this is the shift that we are living through. We have to do it together. Our culture will fall away. All of the industries built will fall away. The sports that we have worshipped as our idols will fall away. I think many of the denominational lines and the denominations that exist will fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. That phrase is a part of your Lutheran identity. And maybe we don't spend enough time on it. I know I haven't, but I want to share with you how much a part of that it is for us. Perhaps you have seen, and I don't think you can see it very well unless you have eagle eyes, but the VDMA, these four letters, which come from the Latin words, verbum domini manet in aeternum. The word of the Lord endures forever. comes directly from our epistle lesson, from the same St. Peter that had doubted, the same St. Peter who had rejected Jesus not once, not twice, but three times that he even knew him. The same Peter that was restored not once, not twice, but three times forgiven by his Lord and told to feed his sheep. Verbum Domini manet in aeternum is the motto of the Lutheran Reformation, a confident expression of the enduring power and authority of God's word. The motto is based on our text. It first appeared in the court of Frederick the Wise in 1522. He had it sewn onto the right sleeve of the court's official clothing, which was worn by the prince and servants alike. It was used by Frederick's successors, his brother St. John the Steadfast, his nephew John Frederick the Magnanimous. It became the official motto of the small Caldic League and was used on flags, banners, swords, and uniforms as a symbol of the unity of the Lutheran laity who struggled to defend their beliefs, communities, families, and lives against those who were intent on destroying them. Four letters proclaiming the truth that the word of the Lord endures forever. Four letters etched on their swords as they took up arms to defend their faith. Swords that are etched onto Lutheran laity and pastors alike on their arms. That is, the things that you use ammunition for. The word of the Lord endures forever. So many of the things that we take for granted and the rich American liberties that we have will fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Trust it. Hold fast to it. Because your God stands true when you struggle to look through the lies. The word of the Lord endures forever. The church sings, in suffering be thy love my peace, in weakness be thy love my power, and when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that final hour, be thou my rod and staff and guide, and draw me safely to thy side. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you all the days of your life. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia.